Earth is closed today. We will be talking in detail about the series What If and the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse in general. Come back and have a listen when you're all caught up.
The Sorcerer Supreme has met his match, and it's with himself? We'll discuss that and more because this is The Breakdown. The Eye of Agamotto cannot save you now. This is actually an absolute point in time, so you're actually meant to listen to this whole episode all the way through just to make sure that reality doesn't totally disintegrate. With me today, I have a few masters of the mystic arts, our wonderful panel, Joe, Leah, and Megan. Now, ladies, I do welcome you, but I also have a question for you. If you ladies could pick, what mystic power would you want to possess?
Ooh, tough question. I will be honest with you right now. I had to Google if there were any other versions of the mystic arts in the Doctor Strange world because I wasn't sure.
Yes. And the question is in relation to the mystic, like the mystic arts. So like Doctor Strange powers.
So I honestly couldn't find anything that they did differently than like what Wanda or Doctor Strange does. So, and this may just be because I didn't research far enough, but I would really think it'd be super cool if you could manipulate Earth. So like, not the globe, but like rocks or nature, if there was a way to manipulate like roots and
Leah's like, yeah, I'm here.
People's butts.
Sorry, I missed that. Say it one more time for me.
What? Like, imagine a bad guy is standing in front of you, and you could just, like, make a rock point go up.
That does sound dangerous. That does sound a little dangerous.
It would be a great power. I don't know. I think that would be pretty cool, if that's allowed.
We just spend all of our time telling Megan that she needs to watch Avatar, and then she's like, what about this?
What about this power that exists in another universe that's awesome?
I just made it up.
I mean, we also got that from the DC universe because Terra manipulates Earth, which, I mean, I'm pretty sure if we had to pick Toph and Terra and who would win in a fight, Toph would obviously win. But yeah, anyways, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Joe, what kind of power would you like to have from the mystic arts?
Again, I also am in Megan's boat. I don't know what, like, specifically are the mystic arts. Like, would you mind, Leah, describing it to me?
I have a list.
Describe it.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so according to the Googles, astral projection, detection, dimensional travel, energy blast, ensnarement, ESP, force field, illusion, life support, apparently. Mm-hmm. Telekinesis, telepathy, and teleportation are all powers of the mystic arts. So you can choose from any of those. I don't know.
Okay. I pick ESPN then.
It's like I have ESPN or something. You know what? I would pick the sling ring. Like over anything, I want to have that power where he like does the thing and makes the circle, and you could like literally go anywhere in the universe.
Yeah.
That's obviously the best power. And also convenient. Just ethical. Or like not ethical. What's the word
efficient?
I'm looking for? Efficient. Yes. Mm-hmm. Could be ethical. You could use it for
honestly,
good.
Honestly, that's usually my go-to is like teleportation or some sort of travel so I don't have to like drive somewhere or go somewhere. So I feel like that's like a cop-out if I answer that because that's just my all-around choice. So I heard Leah say life support, or I guess it's called life force manipulation. I think that would be really cool if you could like, If someone was like dying, you could like heal them or things like that. It's water bending as well. That's what we're going to go with here. Megan's earth. I'm water. So Leah, what are you?
I guess I'm air because I choose astral projection. So nice. I don't know if that's a relation or not, but I just feel like it would be like, obviously when you see in Doctor Strange, like the first movie, also he's my favorite Marvel character as well. So this is a great episode for me. You see him sleeping and he's astral projecting in his astral form and he's reading and he's learning the same way that we saw at the end of WandaVision. Wanda is also doing the same thing. Like, it would just be so incredible for you to be able to rest and sleep and fuel your physical form body, also learn at the exact same time.
That would be awesome.
You have not dreaming, but like actually learning and educating yourself. You know, I just think that would be cool.
Yep.
100%.
Yeah, I think that's a really creative idea. Just using it to like, there's so many hours in the day. Sometimes I feel like if I go to sleep, I'm like wasting time.
Because absolutely.
I'm the kind of person that's like, if I'm not doing something like effective or like something that needs to be done, then it's a waste of time.
So, that's called ADHD.
100%. Undiagnosed.
Or if you have like one of those really dumb 9-to-5 jobs and you want to do something else with that time, you could make your physical body go to the 9-to-5 job, but your astral projection could do the cool things, or like vice versa. Cause I think where your brain sits.
It's true.
The tedious, boring job is the astral projection, and the fun thing is like you and your actual body.
Mm-hmm. True.
That's true. Now we talked a lot about the mystic arts, but the man himself, Dr. Strange, was the lead in this episode. Ladies, I'd love to know your overall thoughts on the story, how you liked it, how you didn't like it. What are your thoughts?
The whole episode was just kind of like a curveball for me, like from start to finish. I anticipated that if he had the ability to change the past, that he wouldn't be able to. Like it was kind of predictable that he would try to use a stone and go back in time and save her, like when we first realized that she had died. And that he wasn't going to be able to. Just kind of like going off of Infinity War, where he looks into the future and he's not supposed to do that. And he sees all the possible outcomes and there's only going to be that one potential out of whatever it was, like 14 million or 14 billion outcomes where they actually win. But it being like a set point in time that has to happen in this particular version of Doctor Strange and in this what if universe, that she has to die and he has to become who he is by her dying. And obviously I think we were all like under the impression like actually gonna lose his like physical heart, but like metaphorically like he kind of did, not because like his heart was broken, but because he became evil. Like he sought power over like love, but because of love, I guess, right? And I can go on and on about this, but the ending just like broke me because I wasn't anticipating that it was going to end so abruptly and just like very disappointingly the way that it did. But it couldn't have ended any other way. Like after we finished the episode, I turned to Dan and I went, what? What is this? Is this the end? Because none of the other episodes really ended like that. Like at least at the end of the what was the previous episode we watched? The one where Loki takes over at the end, where all of the Avengers have died. There's something that's happening after that. Like there's a chain of events that happen that cause another chain of events to happen potentially. You don't know what's going to happen, but it's just like the universe just collapses around him and he's holding her like lifeless body and then it's just black and it just ends. And I was like, the fuck? So I don't know. I thought the episode was really good. It was like very Cthulian, which I think is what I've been told the Far From Home and the the Multiverse of Madness is supposed to be based off of. So I think them including that in this episode kind of gives us a little hint to what the next few movies have in store for us as well. But I really enjoyed it. It was a very enjoyable episode.
Yeah. So really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was depressing as hell. And I didn't know that that's what we were going to get. When they said that he was going to lose his heart instead of his hands, I thought there was, and maybe I saw it wrong, when they were initially showing previews and stuff for What If, isn't there a Doctor Head or Doctor Strange as a head in like a floating tank, or did I see something incorrectly?
I thought it like in the trailer.
Just like in the general trailer of What If before we've seen any episodes.
I think it's Scott. I think it's Ant-Man.
Oh.
Yeah. I think you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I initially thought that was Doctor Strange's head. I thought I saw the like white gray on the side. So I was like, oh, he loses like his body, which is where his heart is. And then I don't know.
Oh my God. That's
so that was wrong.
The extrapolation. Amazing.
So when they were initially showing the beginning of the episode and he's driving in the car with Christine, and I was like, oh, this is different. Okay, so this is how they're changing it. And then she dies and that's how he loses his heart. I was like, oh my God, this is not a kid's show. This animated TV show is not for young people. And Doctor Strange has never really been on the top of my list. So I think it's really interesting, Leah, that you and I are kind of on the opposite ends here with Doctor Strange. Not that I don't like him. He's just never been my favorite. But this is really showing me different sides than what I've seen in the few Marvel movies he's been in, because really he's just in like little bits and pieces other than his own main movie, right? So getting to know Doctor Strange a little better is really cool, to see different sides of him. And the evil Doctor Strange, I don't think is truly evil. I think, mm-hmm. like you said, Leah, just love took over so intensely that he didn't know what he was doing was so wrong.
Yeah. Even the Ancient One said, like, not evil, misguided.
Yeah. And also at the end, when the Watcher is just like, sorry, dude, not my problem. Peace out.
Yeah.
He's been the only one so far that has acknowledged his existence as well.
Because he was so powerful by the end mm-hmm. that he knew he was there.
Now that's got to be it.
Crazy.
That's so scary. I think the episode had a lot of interesting imagery. Joe and I were just talking about it, and there's a couple different examples. And one of the examples that I saw as a reoccurring theme was about glass and reflections and like shattered glass. So it's a very prominent, like if you were to watch it now, this is gonna mm-hmm. literally, no pun intended, break the glass for you. Because like breaking the glass, of course, is like coming to a realization or kind of seeing something with fresh eyes and knowing that it's there. Yeah. We see Strange and Christine framed in shattered glass when there's a broken the car accident happens. So that really shows like breaking of something like fragile, like their relationship kind of thing. When Strange is under Dark Strange's illusion, we see the glass break. There's another realization there that that's not real and that he's just kind of being manipulated. There is, when they're in the pizza shop, you see them through glass in the window. It's kind of like a picture perfect, kind of like a picture frame on how he wishes his life would kind of go. So the imagery was really incredible, like just kind of seeing it back and realizing all of these interesting like allusions to all of these different references, because they only have like 28 minutes to tell you a story. Totally. And if you're going to look back on it and kind of look into the looking glass, no pun intended, look back into it and kind of extrapolate what they're trying to tell you, there's much more, it's more complex than we see at surface level. One of my favorite ones is once both Doctor Strange's fall from the illusion that I guess Strange Supreme is what we're calling him has created for him. They fall to the crash. They look at the car. And if you look, the scary Strange Supreme is shattered in his reflection in so many countless ways. And the Strange that we know is only broken in two. And it's a really cool visualization of like how broken this man is.
Wow.
not just in two, but he's broken in so many other ways. So that's the one thing I really enjoyed about this episode, is like how many kind of interesting visual aids can I find, and how much more is the story telling us? I guess that's just a compliment on the story as a whole and the show in general. But I would definitely give it like a 10 out of 10. This was my favorite episode by far. The second episode was an Easter egg hunt, which I loved, but this one was a really incredible story for sure. Joe, what did you think?
I liked it. I thought it was really good. I also was a little bit hesitant to like be on board with Doctor Strange as a character initially. Like when he first came out, he wasn't my favorite. It wasn't my favorite movie. And even watching this, I was like, I don't get it. Like, why is him losing Christine this big of a deal when they weren't even really in love or like dating or anything in the original movie? Like, I didn't really understand where that came from, I guess. But then I think what's different, and the thing about reading the title that's getting to me is that I feel like it doesn't actually give you the thing that's different in the episode. Because the thing that's different in this episode is that he stayed in love with Christine. Mm-hmm. So she was just around when he got into the car accident and then she died. Because if we're to believe that like the episode played out the same way, if he got in the same car crash and the glass didn't affect him in the same way, it's just she died instead of him. I don't really see how that's the one change. I think the difference is just that she was supposed to die, and that's the change. So I don't know. I get confused when I read like the episode titles and I'm supposed to expect something from it, and then it's totally different or off, and it's not clear on what it's trying to portray. Mm-hmm. So I went through with Alyssa and I was like, I don't get it. Like, why all of a sudden she was like barely a side love interest in his original movie? Why is she so important to this episode? And I think that's like, that's the change. So I don't like the titles is my statement. And I'm not going to read them anymore.
Oh, really? That's all right. I mean, yeah, there's so many different conclusions that you can come to from just the title.
Mm-hmm.
So that's true. Totally fine. I love that. Did you think of anything specific about the episode, like, and how it kind of played out? Did you like it? You didn't like it?
Just the episode as a whole?
Yeah, like other than like how it was different than the title.
I did like the episode. I thought aesthetically it matched kind of the universe that we've grown to know and love from Doctor Strange. Aesthetically, I thought it was really cool. It introduced us to a whole bunch of different like weird creatures and little gnome people and all of these funny little things that I think you'd only see from that universe. So I thought it was really cool to see that in like animated form as well. Yeah. I did also feel like, yeah, it was crazy to see an episode just end very sadly and very suddenly. It wasn't like progressing something into the future, into the story. My thoughts are that this is just to introduce us to like absolute points in time, so that similar to like Nexus events, there's things that you can't change and they cannot be altered or disrupted. So we have to go with like, no matter what. Like there was moments when like she got hit by the car, or you know, they took a different turn and she got hit by like a different car. Mm-hmm. But then there were moments when she died of like a heart attack or mm-hmm. like something crazy, like a robber came into the restaurant they were eating at, and like all of those things couldn't have possibly happened independent of the fact that this one thing was supposed to happen no matter what, and under all circumstances everybody's life around them was adjusted. Like one time she stays home and he doesn't pick her up and like the whole building explodes. So like what happened to all of those people? What happened to their lives? How was everything else adjusted and like changed based on the fact that this one woman needed to die? Like nobody else's life matters, just this event needed to happen no matter what so that Strange could save the world. And that was it. Like I thought that was so crazy to see that we think that we have so much like mm-hmm. power in what's going on, and then you know it's like, do I have control of my own fate? It's like, not really. If something's bound to happen, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So I like that as like a unique story and a unique kind of topic that they're introducing now of these absolute points in time.
Sure. Now, I mean, speaking of absolute points in time, do you ladies think that there are any other absolute points in time in our known MCU?
Well, I had an idea that we'll just sort of cover a broad spectrum of moments, I feel.
Sure, please.
But I think birth and death have a lot to do with absolute points. Mm-hmm. And this comes from not being able to bring Gamora back or Scarlet Witch or, you know, all of our favorites that actually do die. And the only way they brought Loki back was by taking him from another point in time and having him become a variant, right? So there's a movie, I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's called About Time.
Oh.
It's incredible. It's so got Donald Gleason and Rachel McAdams, funny enough. And it's beautiful. It's another movie about time travel, but in a really, really beautiful way. And not to spoil anything for you, Alyssa, but it talks about stuff like this, where there are certain moments where if he tries to go back in time, it will change the course of his future once you've passed this monumental moment. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, if you have a kid and you go back in time to before when that kid was born, and then you try to go forward in time to when that kid would be there, it's a different kid. Because whatever you've done to go back in time will change the course of that moment. Oh. So that's almost like an absolute point that once someone is born or someone dies, you can no longer go back before that or try to change that, because it is a monumental thing that happens that you can't do anything about.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. Which also means that we can't go back in time, find Thanos, and, you know,
kill baby Thanos. Kill baby Hitler.
Don Cheadle said.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? I don't know. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know really, because it's just the first time that it's been stated, how it differs from like a Nexus event. Does anybody remember exactly what a Nexus event is?
I think it just creates a new branch in a timeline. So like,
doing like if it didn't happen, then it would.
Yeah. So yeah, doing something different than you were supposed to do is what creates a Nexus event. And the timekeepers just go and erase that. So it's not monumental, but it's noticeable enough that you will change your course. And they don't want that to happen, versus like an absolute point in time can't be changed.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it.
I think that's the difference.
I think Google says Nexus events are moments when a variant such as Loki steps off their path of the sacred timeline.
Sure. Yeah. So rather than what is written for them, it is something different. Gotcha. Joe, do you think there's any absolute points in the MCU?
I think that the first thought that I had when I was like, oh, absolute point in time, was Thanos using the stones. So them giving him the time stone and letting him snap the fingers and having all the people disappear. I think the only way that could have, like, there's no way that could have played out any differently. He was going to get all of those no matter what. And I think even if he had gotten them in a slightly different order or in a slightly different way, or it had been harder or easier for him, I think at some point he would have had to get them, because there's so many things that ripple from him completing his journey and snapping his fingers and half the world blipping out, that if he didn't get them, and let's say they won, like, think of how many lives would have been changed, how many people's stories would have been different. It's not a small event. It had to happen. And it's really sad and unfortunate for a lot of people. Like you mentioned, like, death is really sad and unfortunate. But for some people, it had to happen for something else to play out a particular way. So I think that was like my immediate, like, yeah, that sucks. And like, it feels like in the moment, like, why did that have to happen? Maybe we could have done it differently. Maybe if Star-Lord hadn't been a big baby, like, what if, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But like...
But I think about that a lot.
Yeah. I think in that universe where he was collecting all the stones and he had this goal to become, you know, the big bad and do this thing, that's his like absolute point in that universe. Mm-hmm. He had to do it no matter what.
I think if anything, maybe Iron Man, like getting kidnapped and building the first suit, like the Mark One, is like an absolute point, because in our physical universe, like our Earth, rather than like the comic Earth, that's our first introduction to anything. Yeah. So if we're thinking about it like logically, then yes, that would be the first incarnation of something. I don't think, did the Hulk come out first? It's like,
technically, no.
Let's pretend it didn't come out first.
The movie, like Hulk movie, I think did.
Technically, it came out first. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We just pretend that Iron Man was first. but it kicks off a lot of things. Like it kicks off like the idea that Tony Stark is more than just a jerk. He understands that what he's doing is not good, like selling weapons to the enemy kind of thing. If he was still a jerk, Wanda and Pietro probably would have gone after him because of what happened to their parents. So I think that could definitely change a lot. And I'm just excited to learn more about what the difference is between like absolute points and Nexus events and how they can intermingle and if there are any in our known universe.
Mm-hmm.
Arcus asks a great question in the Twitch chat. Now, if you guys are listening to us on podcast services or you're watching on YouTube, you can watch us live at twitch.tv/itsyourcurlissa, and you can ask us questions that get in the show, just like Arcus. Arcus asks, probably a dumb question, but if Christine was an absolute event, then why wasn't she dead in the main timeline? What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think that's like how we're talking about in this specific moment. The Watcher mentions in this universe, this is an absolute. Well, I guess he doesn't say it. The Sorcerer Supreme does. But in this universe, this is what had to happen. So maybe in our universe, Stephen Strange had to get in his car accident to lose his hands to become Doctor Strange, because that's how he found out who he needed to be. Where in this new universe, he had to get in that horrible car accident and lose his heart in order to go searching for a bigger meaning and then become Doctor Strange, right? So maybe that's the difference.
I'm also a little bit confused as to how in this universe, the Crash, if you compare them side by side, they're identical. Yeah. The Crash from his universe and the Crash from the Supreme universe. How did he not injure his hands also? Because if the Crash was exactly the same, where the Ferrari or the Lamborghini or whatever like rolled down the hill and then landed vertically and then fell over, it's exactly the same. So that's the confusing part for me, is if physically he was driving and it was the same and the crash was exactly like the same damage to the car and whatever, what happens? Like, is it not the same? Is it not the same? I don't know.
Well, maybe it's the trauma of losing his hands in the first one is all he needed to become Doctor Strange, where in this one, the trauma of her dying is more than enough to push him. So if he had also become horribly injured, maybe he would have just like wanted to end it all or something. I don't know. Aww. Like he would have zero meaning.
Yeah.
Whereas like at least when he lost his hands, he wanted to find a way to get his hands back.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, she died. So he wanted to find a way to get her back. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you combine the two, it would have been too much for him.
Yeah. That's true. Joe, go ahead.
I think that maybe the idea is that like in our universe where he loses his hands, that's all he has. So he's like, I'm a doctor and I save people and I'm like amazing and wonderful. And like, if I can't do that, what am I? That's the only thing that gives me purpose. Yeah. But in this universe where he's found love and he has a family virtually, he's like, if he were to, God forbid, lose his hands and not be a surgeon, at least he would still have his heart and he would have the thing that makes him whole, which is Christine. Mm-hmm. So it has to be like, in the universe where he has love, you have to take away the most important thing to him, which is Christine, mm-hmm. versus like our universe, which is his hands. That's the most important thing to him. So mm-hmm. I think that's, I guess, the difference, or we're expected to believe that's the difference between the difference. Two universes.
Sure.
Joni love Chachi.
Joni love Chachi. Friends reference for anybody who's confused. So we talk about the accident. We talk about Dr. Strange and what's going on with his hands. Now, this might be a deep cut, but how could this link to what we saw in the No Way Home trailer? And does this mean anything specific for the upcoming film, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness? Leah, any thoughts?
Sorry, I just messed up my screen here.
It's all right.
It's okay.
No, I was going to say earlier there was like some potential like Cthulian H.P. Lovecraft shit that was going on in this episode that apparently is going to be part of the next Marvel universe. Like, I can't say for sure if it's going to be in No Way Home or if it's going to be primarily like in the Multiverse of Madness, like if they're going to wait for that movie. But like, it's hard to say, right? Because like, this is, it's mm-hmm. still a what if scenario. So the Stephen Strange that we know that didn't use the time stone in this episode to go back and try to save Christine is still not the Stephen Strange that we currently know, right? So I'm interested to know, like, if it's still a possibility that they could try to include it. I just don't mm-hmm. know how to do that because, like, again, the end of the episode was the universe collapsing in on itself because of the actions that he took, right? So we know that the universe still exists, mm-hmm. but Tom's universe, Tom and the Stephen Strange that's maybe not Stephen Strange
yeah.
that we know is not the same as the Stephen Strange in the What If episode, right? Like, it could be freaking Tobey Maguire in that universe. know, and maybe that's why he shows up maybe in the No Way Home movie, because his universe collapsed and he was like, I'm going to go through this portal. And then he shows up. Like, who the frick knows, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the main things that I think is really cool about What If is that Kevin Feige has said that everything that happens in What If is canon and mm. will connect to something in the future. So whether we see the Doctor Strange that is sitting alone in this little bubble now floating in the middle of nothing, or we also see the Doctor Strange that combated him in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But we will. It will be connected to something. And I think the only thing that it could connect to, as far as we know, is literally No Way Home. So it must. It must. But I don't know. Multiverses are really confusing.
It's honestly confusing because as a like casual watcher, we talked about this in one of our previous episodes. I think the Loki episode. It's so challenging to just follow a story, let alone 25, 26 different movies pointing in the same direction. But once they break off and point in different directions and you're not sure where they go, that's going to be where Marvel has to kind of say, okay, this is going to be confusing for the average person. How mm-hmm. do we keep everybody excited, and how do we get where we want to be, but how do we keep everybody on the same track and figure it out like together? I think that, like you said, when Kevin Feige said it was going to be canon, I mean, I'm happy to just have them one shots, like just kind of one episode. Cool. This is what could have happened if this happened in this timeline. But I think considering how fucking fishy Doctor Strange looks in the No Way Home trailer, he looks like a Halloween costume of himself. Do you guys not think so? Like, his hair is all weird, coiffed. Like, the one thing I really like about Doctor Strange is that he always has a Danny Zuko hair. He always has like a little like fleck of hair in the front, and it looks really sexy, whatever. He literally looks like a dome of hair. And And one thing that I noticed when I watched Doctor Strange back on Thursday, Thursday during the day, whatever, doesn't matter. Before Shang-Chi, Thursday. That's coming too. is he doesn't have scars on his hands. There's nothing on his hands unless they didn't finish the edit. Like Doctor Strange, even when he holds up his one finger and he's like, there's only one chance out of 14 million or whatever, he still has those scars on his fingers. Yeah, like Elliot.
Not just the scars though, the tremors too though, right?
Like, yes,
he has the tremors in his hands in all of the other content that we see him in, all of the other media that we see him up until the last movie, but he's holding a mug and his hand isn't shaking. Like,
right. So I mean, we did see Doctor Strange fighting a Spider-Man, we don't know if it's Tom or not, on that train. Didn't have the cloak of whatever the fuck it's called. I can't remember everything. I'm so sorry. It didn't have the cape. Could be potentially a Strange from another universe who was maybe trying to like absorb Spider-Man, Spidey senses, the strength, all that good stuff. Maybe like it could potentially be, but I know. I mean, our predictions are not normally very correct, but it's fun to do it. You know, it's fun to talk about.
I can assure you though that we are not the ones that have these predictions. Like, no. I mean, there's like, it's not just a handful of people that are thinking this. Like, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have come to the same possible conclusion of what we're expecting to see, and we all could just be mistaken. That's just an unfortunate fact. Mm-hmm. But I mean, how exciting would it be for us to be right, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, but didn't we all have like the same Mephisto prediction too? I mean, lots of people can be wrong. Like,
right. But I mean, like WandaVision was like the first show out of after all of the movies that they released. So we really didn't have anything to go off of, right? Like, we were just making random guesses about what the conclusion of the show was going to be. Now that we have Loki and we have this what if episode where he's like absorbed all of these different superpowers and like crazy creatures from different dimensions and shit like that, right? Like, we have something to go off of. Like, the fact that Ralph Boner is potentially a variant of his brother from a different realm, like, everybody's just going to end up being variants from all these different universes. Like, this is kind of what it's led up to be, whereas with WandaVision, we had no idea what to go off of because it was the first thing.
Yeah, so what you're saying is Mephisto is confirmed.
Oh my gosh.
I cannot confirm nor deny this.
Definitely not.
Joe, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was gonna say, I think that the point of this episode and even just like the show as a whole is just to have us get comfortable with questioning what we're used to seeing. So like, they're kind of like mixing the pot a little bit and being like, okay, if this is possible or this is possible or anything is possible, when they introduce something in like the canon like universe that we're used to being a part of, we're gonna be like, oh yeah, like that's not so crazy because, you know, T'Challa talked Thanos out of killing everybody, so like, you know, this isn't such a big deal if they introduce like three Spider-Men or whatever. They're just trying to like have us suspend our disbelief so far that something that would traditionally be a little bit crazy or out of the box is now just like, oh yeah, that's just part of the world we live in now. There's variants and there's multiverses and there's the same character from a different timeline, and they're starting to have us feel like this is a comic book universe so that we can just get on board with them doing whatever they want at this point. And we just have to deal with it.
Just gotta hop on board, get on that train, baby. Yeah. Let's do it. Choo choo.
Wait for the X-Men and the Fantastic Four and the Avengers to merge now at this point.
That would be so good.
You know,
I would love that.
And I can't wait until we get some live action multiverse action, because the only things we've seen any sort of multiverse version of is What If, but also Into the Spider-Verse, which is also an animated movie.
Right.
So we have had hints of it, and now obviously it's full-fledged, but I can't wait for it to be live action.
Yeah. Stoked. I want to see Nick from New Girl be like, I'm Spider-Man!
I truly hope they bring him back.
That would be so amazing. That would make me really happy. Just like Spider-Man with the gut, and then he's like, give me cookie, give me cookie.
Cookie, cookie, cookie.
Oh, man. All right. Well, ladies, it is that time again. Every week we ask you, if you could come up with a what if of your own, what would it be? Anybody want to go first?
Well, mine was kind of answered in this episode. I was going to do, like, preemptively, as this was going to be a Doctor Strange episode, I was like, ooh, what if, I had it and then I lost it. No,
that's okay.
It was, what if he never actually lost the use of his hands? And I know the title ended up being, what if he lost his heart instead of his hands? But I was just thinking, where would Doctor Strange be in our universe if he never got in that car accident and his hands were never ruined? Who would have become the next Sorcerer Supreme?
Yeah.
Or would there have been another event to force Strange into that reality? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think it's cool.
Is that an absolute point in time then?
Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe he didn't get into the car accident and lost the use of his hands. Maybe something else happened, like, I don't know, like a piece of a building fell on his hand. He was having lunch outside or some shit. I don't know. Just spitballing.
He was doing surgery and then he cut off his own fingers. Sometimes you make mistakes.
Not everybody plays the same role in every universe, though. Like, the absolute point in time of, like, Star-Lord getting abducted and becoming Star-Lord is totally different in T'Challa's universe in episode 2. So, like, we're, like, in these two ones that we've seen, he goes on to become the Sorcerer Supreme, but it could be somebody else.
Yeah. It's true.
Maybe there's going to be an episode about that.
Ooh.
Maybe. Mine was, what if the Watchers could do stuff?
Could interfere?
Yeah, like, they just have all this infinite knowledge and they just see everything and they're like, we're not to interfere. We stand over here and we look at you. Like, what is their actual job? What are they supposed to do?
I don't know.
Does anyone the power, but they can't use it because then it goes against the sacred timeline. So then they would be variants? I don't know.
Maybe.
This is too much.
Yeah.
It's too intense.
My what if was, what if Carol Danvers never learned her truth and ended up using her power for the Kree instead?
Oh, shit.
That's fucking scary. Like, rewatching Captain Marvel, I already knew she was super powerful and, like, cry about it. Little boys who don't like fucking Captain Marvel. I hate when I see, like, let me segue for just 1 second. Have you ever seen like TikTok or Facebook or something, or like, no, Facebook, no one uses Facebook, Instagram or something, guys are just like, oh, let me rank my favorite favorite Marvel movies, and it's like, number one, Endgame, amazing. Number two, Iron Man, amazing. And then they like go through all of them and then they just look at Captain Marvel and then they skip it, and it's like, Captain Marvel's such a fucking bitch. She's such a badass bitch. Oh, man. I don't know, man. There's some crazy people out there that are like, she's too powerful. I feel emasculated.
Yeah, but also, she falls into the same universe as all of the other comic heroes. Like, she's in the Marvel comics. It's not like they just made her just for fun, just to, you know, represent the female community. She literally exists. So, like, get over yourself. Sorry.
I just hate it. Anyways, she's so unbelievably powerful. And when she realizes that and takes that, like, thing off of her neck and just, like, beats the shit out of everybody because she's unreal. What if she had the Kree influence her and kind of, like, guide her in the wrong direction and never tell her truth, like, where she came from and all that scary stuff? It's a little bit, like, scary when you think about it.
Yeah, because the Kree also have to do with who's the guy in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Ronan the Destroyer.
Ronan. Thank you. So maybe she would have teamed up with Ronan, and then she would have beat Ronan because she's stronger than him. And then maybe she would have teamed up with Thanos.
Yeah, that's a big what if, my guy.
She would have been Thanos.
She would have been
Thanos. Who?
Well, we know that she has the ability to destroy him. Like, she's... Yeah. She's probably the most powerful being in the universe, like, that can actually do stuff. Not like the Watchers.
Her and Scarlet Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Badass bitches.
Yeah. Magic and shit.
Oh, man. I just need a whole like, TV series or movie. Well, like, the Marvels. I was just telling Joe, I'm so excited. I'm probably more excited for the Marvels than anything else. Because we don't know really anything about Ms. Marvel or about Monica and how she got her powers, why she's pissed at Carol, all that good stuff. It's going to be such like a new, fresh take on all of them and introducing them to the MCU. So I'm really excited about it. But I'm really excited that in the chat, we have a lot of friends who've shared their own what ifs. And I'd love to ask you guys. Mine. Oh, yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. Well, mine is actually also kind of in relation to the absolute event that I also didn't do, but they're one and the same. So basically, like, the absolute event that I was going to say was, it kind of all goes together, but Bucky falling off the train, losing his arm, becoming the Winter Soldier, killing Tony Stark's parents, causing Tony Stark to become Iron Man. Because if his parents wouldn't have died, he wouldn't have taken over the business, because in his flashback, he was like lazy and was unmotivated, and he wouldn't have taken over the business unless his father had died like further in the future, I guess. So that would have been an absolute point of Bucky killing Tony's parents. But also, what if he hadn't? Then Iron Man probably wouldn't exist, because he wouldn't be building weapons, which is not what his father stood for. And those weapons would have been taken by the enemy, and he wouldn't have gone to that summit or whatever the hell it was that he went to, and then got all shot up. So they're kind of like, you know, one in the same, I guess.
Whoa.
That's a good point. Sorry, yeah, I didn't mean to skip you. I just forgot. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
Anyways, our friends in the chat have some what ifs. All of the ones that we have said over the last couple of weeks are quite good, and the ones that they have asked us are quite intriguing as well. So we have someone in the chat named Monroe, and they have asked, what if the spider that bit Peter Parker bit Harry Osborn instead?
I like that one.
Probably would look just like a spider.
It would just look like a spider. Yes, you are correct.
I mean, I'm going off of the gross version from the Andrew Garfield version, where he like gets all gross and gangly and his nose pointed and he's got all the veins and shit. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
No, yeah. I don't.
He has like some pretty bad motivations. So
Harry Osborn?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Andrew Garfield one.
Is that the second one?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember. Like, it's the second Andrew Garfield one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that one in a very long time, so okay. I don't really remember it. But for me, thinking about the Tobey Maguire version of, I know it's not him playing a Harry Osborn, but thinking about that first Spider-Man movie, Harry Osborn's dad is the one who becomes Green Goblin. So if Harry was the one bit by the spider, would he have to battle his dad? Or would they have somehow...
Do you think he would be a villain or a hero, though?
Yeah.
Well, that's the question, right? Like, maybe Spider-Man would have become an actual villain instead of a vigilante. Cool.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd have the motivation to, like, be a protector of, like, New York City. I think maybe he would either be influenced by how negative his dad was, or kind of like overwhelming he was to be some kind of bad guy, maybe go a little bit crazy, because I'm sure that spider sense thing is not fun to have.
No.
No.
That's a good one.
Yeah. We have another one that comes from Arcus and says, what if Howard Stark had survived the crash? So let's in this realm pretend that the Winter Soldier tried to kill the Starks and Howard survived. What do you think would have come from that? Do you think it'd be the same scenario that we have now? Do you think it would be kind of similar to Leah's scenario?
Well, I wonder if he would have had, like, if Tony would have had a better relationship with his dad, because if this is just Howard surviving, then mm-hmm. his wife would have died. And mm-hmm. maybe that would give him more motivation to connect with his son and teach him, and they would have a better time bonding as Tony got older. And then maybe there still would be an Iron Man, but it would have come around faster, or maybe. Because he would have been thinking, we have to do something about the guy who killed your mom. Mm-hmm. Let's build some sort of tech to beat him. And then that would have snowballed everything, maybe even earlier mm-hmm. than it actually did. I don't know.
That's a good point. Joe, I see you thinking intently.
In they're all blurring together for me now, but in one of the What If episodes, we see Howard, I think it's the first one, Howard building like something that looks like an Iron Man suit. And we know that Tony built his like first Iron Man suit when he was like trapped in a cave and whatever, and he had to just like come up with it on the fly. So chances are like that's tech that he's seen at some point or has existed in the past already. So I think maybe like it probably still would have happened. Like I think Tony maybe different motivations or under different pressure, but like for as much as he was like a spoiled kid or whatever, I think at some point, yeah, he would have grown up and, you know, wanted to do something. I think he was just like unmotivated or disinterested in doing anything because he was like, oh, I got a lot of money, I don't really have to do anything, I can just live my life. But at some point, you know, I'm sure he would have grown up and decided that he wanted to do something with his life. So maybe there would have been more collaboration at that point, and it would have still happened, but maybe just at a different timeline, maybe not in a cave somewhere, but like in his home.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe if Howard survived and Mrs. Stark didn't survive, that Tony would have even more anger towards his dad, because like, why are you getting murdered in the first place? Because of who you are, right? Like, because of the situation you've kind of put your family in the creations that you've made and the money that you have and the kind of title that you have in the world, right? So I feel like maybe because Tony is Tony, he might have blamed his father for what had happened and maybe been like, well, you should have protected her, or you, I don't know. So many different things could have happened. And either that could have pushed him even further to be like even worse of a person, because he was a pretty shitty person when we first see him. Or in like this other, I guess now was what if scenario from that, maybe he kind of comes to the realization that like his parents are his parents and life is kind of short. And rather than being a jerk to your family, like maybe trying to work with your dad together to like fight a common enemy. Because I imagine if the Winter Soldier didn't succeed, they would send him again.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
Well, and then is it Civil War that Tony has created that like fake scene?
Yes.
With the text. Yes. So barf. So that is something that he wished would have happened, right? Yeah. Like he wished he would have said something to his dad before he left. So maybe again, that kind of technology would have happened earlier, or because his dad survives. Mm-hmm. He then, I don't know. It could go either way. He could completely blame his dad for his mom dying, or go, I'm thankful you're alive at least, because I have all these things I've wanted to say to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
I don't know.
I think it's so hard for us to like envision or imagine what if scenarios like that when we don't know the characters a lot. Like, we don't know a lot about them before we meet them, if that makes any sense. Like, in Doctor Strange's scenario, I was like, oh, that's so weird. Like, why would he go crazy? He's such, like, a logical person. He's a doctor, whatever. And Alyssa was like, no, he was, like, very arrogant. He was very, like, he wasn't very humble. He thought very highly of himself. He was so proud and boastful about what he could accomplish that he thinks he could just do anything. And now that he's given the gift of this insane mystical power, he's like, don't tell me what I can't do. I know it's possible. And my understanding or how much I know about that character is totally different than like Alyssa, who loves this character. I'm like, I don't really know him like a friend. Like, I don't know him very well. He's more of an acquaintance. So like, I feel like us deciding what Tony would do in that scenario, would he, you know, buck up and be like, oh, my mom died, I should really get to know my dad because life is short and your parents are your parents and then he could die in any minute? Or is he like, ugh, my dad sucks, he let my mom die and I hate him even more because I already hate him? Like, both of those are possible and both of those could happen maybe in two different timelines, but we don't know enough about Tony as a person before we knew him as Iron Man. We met him and he was like already in the position where he had grown up without his parents, had owned this company, had had to mature very quickly. We don't know what his life might have been like without the life that he has, right? So it's so hard to judge stuff like that.
That's totally true. Now, Stella asks a really great question. Their question is, what if Wanda and her brother were traumatized by a different world event, like the Cold War or 9/11 or something like that, rather than a bombing of Stark Industries missiles?
Wanda and they wouldn't have powers. Would likely not have their powers because they wouldn't have volunteered to be experimented on via the stone.
When did they volunteer?
So I don't think we explicitly hear them volunteer. We just hear Strucker say like, oh, well, they're the ones that volunteered when they were experimented on. Like when you see them in a...
They were kids, no?
What's that?
They were kids though, no?
They were, I think they were still like the same age or maybe like a year younger than what they were when we actually see them in Age of Ultron. So, like, when you see the end credit scene of whatever the movie is that comes out before Age of Ultron, you see them both trapped in a room, and Pietro's running back and forth, and Wanda's, like,
hands
against her head or whatever, and they're about the same age as what you see them in Age of Ultron. So, like, but I don't think... Yeah.
No, in WandaVision, though, isn't that when that happens, though? Like, she has that flashback, and they're, like, little kids, and the bomb hits their house, and they're trapped under the rubble.
Right. Yeah, yeah, no, like, they were children, like, not, like, teenagers and stuff. But, like, I think later on, when she was able to, like, when she realized who Stark was, and she had, I guess, found out that, like, these Sokovian people had taken the technology and had stolen one of those giant Chitauri whale things, that, oh, this is an opportunity for me to, like, get my revenge for killing my family. So, like... I still think, like, in theory, had that event not happened to them, they wouldn't have gotten their powers.
No, because they got their powers from the Mind Stone, right?
Right.
So the only reason they have any powers is because they were experimented on. And like you said, Leah, had they not been part of that event, then they wouldn't have volunteered for anything because they wouldn't have been there to volunteer.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it canonically true that in this universe that their dad is also Magneto, though?
I don't know. I don't think
not
so.
Not in this one?
Not though, in this version of it, no.
I don't know if it's just me.
But Boner's dad.
Yes. What's his name? Evan Peters?
Yeah.
Evan Peters.
Yeah. Evan Peters, Quicksilver, is canonically Magneto's son. Only in the X-Men, like, Days of Future Past, fucking Apocalypse universe.
And his freaking name is Peter. How many Peters do we need?
God, oh my god,
there's Peter too Quill, many
Peter Maximoff, Peter,
there's just as many Peter Parker as there are Chris's.
Oh God.
Oh my God.
That's true.
Oh my God.
You're not wrong.
I saw a news story that Chris Pine was in the talks to play somebody in the MCU, and I was like, oh my God, please don't do it.
Oh my God, that has to be fake.
Some kind of puzzle piece that's gonna come into place and then the world's gonna explode or something.
Yes, you are correct. I also heard this as well.
Yeah. It can't be real though. Like,
it's gotta be real.
But who would he play? It must be real.
It just says Chris Pine reportedly in talks with Kevin Feige to join the MCU. Maybe Cyclops. That would be great. I think that would be a really great.
Yeah, I can see that.
I do like him he's a fantastic actor. So
he's a great actor.
Yeah. It wouldn't hurt the MCU, that's for sure. Or maybe it would because it'd be too many Chris's. No, we lost Chris Evans, so now we need a new Chris to replace him.
Don't say that. It was real for me. Don't say that.
You gotta do it in a Russian accent, though.
It was real for me. It was real for me. Such a great movie. Oh man. God. All right. Well, folks, reality is unraveling before our eyes. And that's something that we can change if you follow the right path. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Hello Video Dames. And you can even watch us live at twitch.tv/itsyourgirlissa. If you have a what if scenario that you'd like to have read live on the show, go ahead and email us at hellovideodames@gmail.com.
Make the right choice. Don't stray from your path, or reality could crumble all around you.
Bye-bye.